In the second reading today, St. Paul tells us that no one lives for oneself. And he said, if we live for the Lord. So the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, does that sound like me? Do I live for the Lord or do I live for me? In our society, it's all about the me. And how many of us really live for the Lord? That's the critical question that we have to ask. Because there is only one way to get to heaven, and that's the Lord. We can't get there by ourselves. There are lots and lots of ways to get to the other place. There's only one way to get to heaven. And if we want to get there, we have to live our lives for the Lord so that we also, as St. Paul says, die for the Lord. Is that where our focus is? Is that where our heart is? Now, if we're going to live for the Lord, that means that we have to follow him. We have to seek union with him, and we have to be doing what he told us to do. He told us the greatest commandments are love God and love your neighbor. And then specifically with that love of neighbor, he tells us that we need to forgive. That's what we hear in both of the other two readings today, is the point of forgiveness. Jesus telling Peter, no, not 7 times, but 77 times, which doesn't mean 490 times, so you can keep track and forgave that person 490 times, I'm done now. No, it just means that there's no end. And then even if we think a little bit more, in the first reading, we hear from Sirach, the wise man of the Old Testament. And keep in mind all these things that Sirach has to say and recognize that this was written before Jesus. This is what God was telling the people of God before the Lord even came. So he says that we have to forgive our neighbors in justice so that we can be forgiven. If we nourish anger against another, how can we expect healing from the Lord? Can we refuse mercy to another like ourselves? And then if we seek pardon for our own sin? If one who is but flesh cherishes wrath, who can forgive his sins? So even back in the Old Testament times, God was requiring that the people forgive, and making very clear that our sins cannot be forgiven if we are unwilling to forgive others. And isn't that exactly what Jesus taught us when he taught us the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, forgive me only to the degree that I am willing to forgive others. That's what we're praying. So now ask yourself, how much are you being forgiven? We come to confession, we confess our sins, and we expect that God's going to forgive us. And indeed, when God forgives us, he removes the sin. It is gone forever. But if we're asking him to forgive us only to the degree that we're willing to forgive, are our sins really being removed? Not because there's a problem on God's side, but because there's a problem on our side. If we want our sins forgiven, we have to be willing to forgive. So that's where the rub comes. There are lots of things that frustrate us in life. There are lots of injustices. There are lots of things that people do to us or to people that we love. And we hold a grudge. As it said, wrath and anger are hateful things. But the next line is the one that pierces us, yet the sinner hugs them tight. Is that us? Are we filled with anger? Are we filled with wrath? Are we looking for vengeance? Are we refusing to forgive? So in the gospel, as our Lord gives the example, this person who owed a huge amount and then is unwilling to forgive somebody else who owed just a small amount, we have to look at and say, we come before the Lord and we confess our sins. Our debt to God is huge. We all realize that if we got what we deserved, we know where we would all be. Heaven would be empty except our Blessed Mother, and the rest of us would go the other direction because we got what we deserved. So our debt is massive. And that's important because you might look at some of the sins that you confess today and you say, well, I mean, I confessed impatience, or I confessed speeding, or I confessed, you know, whatever, looking at my telephone for too much time, but look at what this person did to me. Oh, that's so much bigger than what I had to confess. Maybe today. What have you confessed in the past? How big is it? How much has God forgiven us, or how much have we asked God to forgive us over the years? And we come up with all kinds of justifications. If you knew what this person did to me, you wouldn't forgive him either. It's righteous anger that I have because what this person did to me. No, it is not. It may be that the person did something rotten. Anger is there. It's the proper response to an injustice. So righteous anger responds to the injustice by trying to correct it. If it cannot be corrected, it needs to be let go. And if there is a correction to be made, it must be made in charity, not in anger. So righteous anger lasts for a few seconds. Anything beyond that is no longer righteous. But boy, do we make a living on that one. We justify ourselves because we think we're so righteous, hanging on to our anger for days and weeks and months and years sometimes. And we keep convincing ourselves that it's righteous because what this person did was wrong. Yes, what the person did was wrong. What I'm doing by hanging on to the anger is wrong. And that person's wrongdoing doesn't justify my wrongdoing. The Lord requires that we forgive. And He's not asking for words. Because if you look at the last line of today's reading in the gospel, it said, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. From the depth, not just words, really forgive. That's hard. But isn't that what we're asking Him to do to us? We want Him to forgive us. We want our sins removed. Then we have to be willing to do that for others. Remember, Jesus told us if we're going to be children of our Heavenly Father, He lets His sun rise on the good and the bad. He lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. It doesn't say, well, as long as you're righteous, then I'll let the sun shine and the rain fall, but the other ones, they're a bunch of losers, so no, they're not going to get any sunshine. No, He treats them with charity. And if they will repent, they can have their sins forgiven. Now, you might look at that and say, oh, there we go. You said unless they repent. Joe Schmo, who hurt me 40 years ago, hasn't repented. He hasn't called me up to say that he's sorry, so I don't have to forgive. Yes, you do. So let's make an important distinction. It takes one to forgive. It takes two to reconcile. You cannot reconcile with somebody who isn't willing to apologize. You can't reconcile with somebody who doesn't want to be reconciled. And you can still forgive them, even if they're not sorry. That's exactly what God will do. And if you're not sure about that, I would recommend going back and reading the story of David and Bathsheba. Because when God sends the prophet Nathan to David, before David ever repented, the prophet said, God has already forgiven your sin. So God will forgive us, but we can't be reconciled with God unless we repent. The same is true on the human level. We can forgive another, we can't reconcile unless they repent. So if we're trying to justify why we're angry, if we're trying to justify why we aren't forgiving, then let me just ask you a simple question. Is that person and your anger worth going to hell for? Think about that. Because isn't that exactly what Sirach says? Remember your last days and set enmity aside. Remember death and decay and cease from sin. Is that person worth losing heaven over? Of course, then we really come up with idiotic things when we say things like, if that person goes to heaven, I don't want to be there. Really? You'd rather be in the other place than go to heaven because Joe Schmo might be there? If he's there, that means that he repented of whatever he did to you. He couldn't be there if he didn't. So the example that I always use is this one. If I were to do something to you that really hurt you, and you're not willing to forgive me, whether I repent or not, it's like taking a pair of handcuffs and putting one cuff on your wrist and one on mine. And everywhere you go, you're dragging me with you because you're so angry at me for what I did. Is that really what you want to do? You hate me so much that you want me to be with you everywhere that you go. You're so angry with me that you want me to be with you everywhere you go. Kind of foolish, isn't it? But the devil's going to be right there to say, oh, no, no, no. Don't open up that handcuff because you're letting him off the hook. No, that's not true. You open up the handcuff that's on your wrist when you forgive, not the one that's on mine if I don't repent. You're the one who is free if you forgive, not me. And so someone has sinned against you. You can forgive, and you can be free. That person still has the sin on their soul if they're not repentant. But you no longer do. You can be free. And that's exactly what Jesus teaches us. So no matter what it is, no matter how big the sin might be, we have to forgive. Now let's again make a couple distinctions. To forgive does not mean to say it was okay. It's another one of the devil's tricks. If you forgive that person, you're saying that it was okay for them to do that. No, you're not. Does God ever say that it was okay for you to sin? And we do come up with that stupidity every once in a while, too. God knows the situation, so it was okay for me. No, it wasn't. You broke the Ten Commandments. It was not okay. And he's not going to say, well, it's wrong for everybody else, but it was okay for you because you're you, and so therefore it's okay. No, it was wrong. He will never tell you that it was okay to sin. But he will forgive you. So you're not being asked to say that it was okay, whatever this person did to you. You're being asked to forgive. What they did was wrong. You're not asked to say that it was okay. And then people will say, well, forgive and forget. That sounds easy. You can forgive. Forgetting is a little more difficult. If somebody did something that was really awful to you, you're not going to forget that they did it. Nor are you being asked to forget. You're being asked to let it go. Nor are you being asked to be this person's best friend. If you forgive somebody, that doesn't mean you have to put yourself back into a bad situation. Because again, people think, well, if I forgive them, then I have to be their friend. No, you don't. You have to be charitable. But you don't have to hang around with somebody. If somebody's done something wrong, the choice of how you're going to handle that is up to you. But there is no obligation to put yourself back in a situation where you're going to get hurt again. So we need to be prudent, but we need to be clear, because the devil's lies are pretty tricky for us. And he wants us to be able to think that we shouldn't forgive or that we can't forgive because of all these things. Let's make the right distinctions, because they're lies. But ultimately, let's get ourselves focused where it belongs, to live for the Lord. Because if we're living for ourselves, yeah, why should I forgive? It's all about me. If I'm living for the Lord, then it's about love of God, love of neighbor. And part of that love of neighbor is to forgive. And it's not an option. It's required. The Lord makes it clear over and over and over again. Again, if you look in St. Matthew's Gospel, the only part of the Our Father that Jesus pulled out to make comment about was the point of forgiveness. Unless you forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. That's pretty clear. And that's pretty serious. So again, let me just ask you, is there anyone, especially anyone that you're angry with, that's worth losing heaven for because you refuse to forgive? Is it really worth losing heaven for that? Because you hate this person so much that I'd rather not go to heaven. I'd rather bring my anger with me into hell than to go to heaven. No, it's not worth it. Let go. Be free so that you can live for the Lord, you can die for the Lord, and you can live with the Lord for eternity. That's what this brings about, the freedom of soul, the freedom to live your life as God has asked you to live, so that in death you will have eternal life and live with the Lord with that total freedom for the rest of eternity.